companions, believers, the stories we hear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message, in which we discuss various different accounts from the Holy Quran, from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, the companions alayhi muridwan, and the awliya Allah. And mashallah, today on the Timeless Message, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful, insightful topic of discussion, and that is regarding the people of the ditch. Yes, we are going to be learning about them, and also at the same time, deriving lessons from them as well. And as of now, viewers of Madani Channel, let us first and foremost recall and mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a nur, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. First and foremost, we show our thanks and gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal, that upon every single state or circumstances that we may be in, we as believers, we still show our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here's the views of Madani Channel. We are discussing the people of the ditch and Suratul Buruj. It is a short surah of the Holy Quran, and it's in the 30th chapter. And it comprises only one ruku, 22 ayat, 22 verses. Now the word Buruj, it refers to the stations of the stars or constellations. And this blessed surah, subhanAllah, it begins with an oath by the sky possessing these constellations. Hence, it has been named Surah Al-Buruj. Now, at the beginning of this blessed surah, an instructive, thought-provoking incident is mentioned when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. That woe to the people of the ditch, of the blazing fire, when they were sitting around it, and they themselves are witnesses to what they were doing to the believers. And they were only averse to this that they, meaning the Muslims, embraced faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most exalted, the most praiseworthy. Now these verses, the views of Madani Channel, they mention the people of the ditch. Who are they? What is their story? And subhanAllah, it's details. And they are found in the famous hadith collection of Sahih al-Muslim Sharif. The hadith is lengthy, but I'll summarize it for you, inshallah. In earlier nations, there was a king who claimed divinity. People, they regarded him as their god and worshipped him. Now, when guidance was decreed for that nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided a young man from among them. He was blessed with the company of a righteous believer, and through the blessings of his company, the young man, he recited the testimony of faith and he became a follower of the true religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this youth, this young man, an elevated rank, honored him with wilayat, with sainthood, and caused, you know, miracles, karamat, to manifest at his hands. And due to the barakah, the blessings of his du'as, the blind, they would regain their vision, their eyesight. those afflicted with leprosy, they were cured. And soon his fame, it reached the king. Now the king's false claim to divinity, it was now in danger. If the blind continued to be cured by the dua of this friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who would believe the king's claim to divinity? So the king, he made so much of efforts to kill this young man, this pious young man. He attempted to throw him from the peak of a mountain, but failed. He then tried to drown him in the ocean, but also failed. Eventually, the saint said that, oh king, if you really want to kill me, if you truly wish to kill me, there's only one way, there's only one method. What you should do is you need to gather all of the people in an open field and tie me to the trunk of a date palm tree and say, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Rabb of this young man. And then shoot an arrow at me. So the king, he got happy. He was overjoyed when he heard this way. Immediately all of the people, they were gathered in an open plain. A date palm trunk was brought, and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was tied to it. The king, he placed an arrow on the bowstring, drew it, and proclaimed Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. In the name of Allah, the Rabb of this young man. Then he fired the arrow, which struck that saint on his temple, causing his soul to depart. When the people, when they saw and witnessed this event, that the king who claimed divinity had failed in all his attempts, and that ultimately only the name of the young man's Rabb was effective, they realized that the true Rabb was not the king, but the Rabb of that young man. And after that, they all recited the testimony of faith and embraced the true religion. Now the king, he became furious, he became angry. His false claim to divinity had been exposed, and the people had abandoned him and believed in the one and only true Rabb, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this angry king, he commanded that trenches be dug along the roadsides and fires lit within them. Then he ordered that whoever refused to renounce their faith and accept the divinity of the king shall be thrown into the fire. This order was carried out. The people, they were thrown into flames. Then a woman arrived. I mean, imagine this, a woman arrived carrying an infant in her arms. And that believing woman feared nothing for herself, but, you know, of course, the tenderness of motherhood. It caused her to hesitate slightly when looking at her child. And at that moment, that infant spoke, that mother, remain steadfast, do not fear, for indeed you are upon the true religion. Then the mother and the child were thrown into the fire. And according to narrations, the king faced the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his cruel oppression. And suddenly, the very fire which the king had lit to burn the believers burst forth from the trenches and burnt the tyrants to ashes. Allahu Akbar. So this was the story of Yusuf Madani channel of the people of the ditch. But after listening to the story, to this incident, there are so much of lessons we derive from it, that we have been blessed, subhanAllah, to listen and to educate ourselves regarding this Quranic account. And as I've said, that we learn a lot of lessons. Now, this event teaches us that tests and trials, they come upon the believers by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the successful Muslim is the one who remains steadfast in these trials with patience and gratitude. You know, this is a great lesson. Many among us hold the thought and at times even ask the question that we are Muslims, we believe in Allah Ta'ala, we recite the kalima of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him, yet despite all of this, we still face trials. Muslims across the world are facing poverty, hardship, and various kinds of difficulties. Meanwhile, the condition of the non-Muslims is far better than ours. They are wealthy, they enjoy prosperity, they have everything they could ever ask for. Why is this so? And the answer is very simple, the views of Madani channel. As it is mentioned in a hadith, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ, that the world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Now reflect, ponder what is found in prison, trials, restrictions, and hardships. So, since we are Muslims, trials will inevitably come upon us in this world. And yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are much more lessons, there are much more to discuss. But for now, let us go and listen to a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, we will be back to discuss much more thereafter. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulullah, ya Habib Allah, ya Nabi Allah, ya Nur Allah.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye. Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye, unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye, aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye, aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke dar pe jaise ghum mit jaiye, unke dar pe jaise ghum mit jaiye. Natawano kuch to himmat kijiye, natawano kuch to himmat kijiye.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer, unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer. Benawao fikr-e-sarwat kijiye, benawao fikr-e-sarwat kijiye.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Hum tumhare ho ke kiske paas jaaye, hum tumhare ho ke kiske paas jaaye. Sadqa shahzadon ka rahmat kijiye, sadqa shahzadon ka rahmat kijiye.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Nara kijiye ya Rasulullah ka, nara kijiye ya Rasulullah ka. Mufliso samane daulat kijiye, mufliso samane daulat kijiye.
Hirz-e-jaan zikr-e-shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Dar badar kab tak phire khasta khara, dar badar kab کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب، طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے، طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے۔
جیسے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے۔
خدا ہمت کے یہ جانِ حزین، دے خدا ہمت کے یہ جانِ حزین، آپ پر وارے وہ صورت کیجئے، آپ پر وارے وہ صورت کیجئے۔
خیزِ جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے۔
جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا، جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا، یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے، یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے۔
جیسے جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے، نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے۔
یا نور اللہ۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ، ویری بیوٹیفل کلام ان دی پریزز آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ مے اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی انکریز اور لو فور دی بلوڈ حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آمین یا رب العالمین۔ الحمدللہ، کمنگ بیک ٹو اور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن، ان وچ وی آر ڈسکسنگ دی پیپل آف دی ڈچ۔ اینڈ آئی ہیو مینشن ٹو یو the incident about the people of the ditch. And just before going to listen to this melodious kalam, we have been mentioning about the first lesson that we learned from this, is that about trials and tests that we face in life, you know. And Muslims across the world, they are facing poverty, hardships, and so many kinds of difficulties, whilst the condition of the non-Muslims is far better than ours. And we've mentioned also that they are wealthy, they enjoy prosperity, and they have everything they could ever ask for. And together with that, we have mentioned the reason for it is the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir," that the world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Now, trials, restrictions, hardships, they are found in a prison. And since we are Muslims, trials will come upon us in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, that do people think they will be left as they say we believe and they will not be tested? Allahu Akbar. Now tafsir Siratul Jinan, it explains and it says that from this it is understood that testing Muslims according to the strength of their faith is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illness, poverty, affliction, hardship, all are trials sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which the mukhlis, the sincere person, and the hypocrite are distinguished. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that great reward comes with great affliction. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people, He tests them. Whoever is pleased with this receives the pleasure of Allah, and whoever is displeased receives displeasure. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, there is an important clarification to make, right? The difficulties and trials that the believers face in this world are in reality a rahmah, a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like it's reported that two angels met. One was descending from the heavens to the earth, and the other was ascending from the earth to the heavens. So one angel asked the other, "Where are you coming from?" He replied, "A non-Muslim lives in such and such city. He was extremely ill, and his final moments were near. The recompense of his good deeds had already been given in this world. Therefore, no goodness remained by which he would receive any reward on the day of Qiyamah. Only one good deed remained. In the final moments of his life, he had this wish. He had this desire to eat fish. Fish was sought, but not a single fish could be found in the entire city. The angel says that I was commanded by Allah Ta'ala to arrange fish for him so that the reward of the final good deed may also be given to him in this world, leaving him empty-handed for the hereafter." After narrating this, he asked the other angel, "And you? Where are you going?" He replied, in such city, there is a Muslim whose final moments have also arrived. He has already been afflicted with trials in exchange for the sins he has committed. And now, no sins remain in his record except one. In these last moments, he felt thirsty and wished to drink water. The angel says that I have been commanded to spill his water so that through this final trial, his last remaining sin may be erased and he may leave this world completely purified of sins. Subhanallah, subhanallah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, I mean, look at this rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are his servants. Whether Allah ta'ala grants us happiness or tests us with trials, it is all his decree. And in every state, it is his favor upon us. Yet, how astonishing is his mercy. We commit sins, we making ourselves worthy of Jahannam, of hell, but our all-powerful and all-sustaining Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wipes away our sins through trials and makes the path to paradise easier for us. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, teams of Madani Channel, trials, tests is something that it comes with the package of life. No one says that they don't have any stress in their life. No one can say that they don't have no hardship. All right, as believers, we go through stress, we go through trials, tests, afflictions, hardships, difficulties. But our response and reaction to that is very, very important. Suppose you hit a financial crisis, you suffered a profit loss. What is your response to that? What is your reaction to that? And most often we see that, you know, some people would complain that why did I have to suffer a financial crisis? Why did I have to go through a profit loss? What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong and yet still I went through it. We're so quick to complain, yet we forgot that even in those moments, we are to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. Because as we've just heard and learned that difficulties and trials, they are a mercy for us believers, divas of Madani Channel. It is a rahmah. So we need to be content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of saying, why, we need to, you know, eradicate the why. We need to remove the why and just bury it somewhere. Instead of the why, you replace it with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal. This is the teaching of the our pious predecessors. Whenever they were afflicted with anything, they would praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their child, if they had a young child who passed away, they would smile. And they would say, this was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, Stevie's of Madani Mission, is what we need to strive to achieve. Contentment in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sing Alhamdulillah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because by complaining, you know, really, a person doesn't really gain anything. Right? Instead of gaining the rewards of patience upon a calamity, a person complains, the reward is gone. Complaining doesn't bring any reward. It doesn't bring nothing. But when you show sabr and patience upon that difficulty, then you would be rewarded for it. You know, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. And undoubtedly, this is an immense blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reciting the kalima and being a Muslim will inshallah become a means of entering Jannah and being saved from Jahannam. But remember, merely being Muslim is not enough for salvation and entry into Jannah, into paradise. Rather, it is necessary to leave this world with Iman, with your faith, with your Iman intact. So, we must be concerned about the protection of our faith, of our Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the blessing of Iman. We must value it, express gratitude for it, and continuously maintain hatred for disbelief. You know, in a hadith, it's mentioned that whoever possesses three qualities will taste the sweetness of Iman. One of the three is, after accepting Iman, after accepting faith, he dislikes returning to disbelief, just as he dislikes being thrown into the fire. Allahu Akbar. Now, it's evident from this that in order to remain a believer, enter the grave with Iman intact, and become deserving of paradise, it is necessary to constantly maintain hatred for disbelief. So yes, the views of Mother Nation, this was the first lesson that we learned from this incident, is that trials are a mercy for a believer. Be content with it and always, always say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Now, there is another important lesson that we learn from this Quranic account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Holy Quran that, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Surely those who persecuted the believing men and the believing women, then they did not repent, there is the punishment of hell for them, and there is the punishment of fire for them. The views of Madani Channel, we learn that causing harm to a Muslim is a grave sin and a terrible crime, and his punishment is severe. You know, the king who claimed divinity inflicted unjust punishment upon the Muslims and burnt them in a fire. What was the outcome? The wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overtook them, and the king and his soldiers were buried to ashes in the very fire they had lit. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such dreadful crimes and horrific punishment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, it's so, you know, deeply regrettable that today causing harm to Muslims is considered something very small, something trivial. You know, people inflict pain upon others without any hesitation or fear. Some people harm others through tale-telling, foul language, usurping wealth, unleashing anger for absolutely no reason, mockery, taunting, violating others' self-respect in the name of pranks, making videos viral on social media, and in countless other ways. What is worse is that many feel pleased, feel happy and overjoyed after hurting others. They consider themselves brave and regard deceiving others as intelligence. I mean, such people neither move towards repentance nor think about the hereafter. Remember, committing a sin is one matter, but if one at least becomes ashamed afterwards, that too is something meaningful. Unfortunately, people hurt others, do not feel remorse, they do not even consider saying sorry, apologizing. Instead, they rejoice over it. If we, you know, if only we developed respect for Muslims in our hearts and learned to honor our Muslim brothers. You know, Islam gives such great importance to peace, unity, harmony, brotherhood, and love. Those who harm this Islamic brotherhood, hurt their Muslim brothers, or violate their dignity are evil people. You know, once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his ashab alayhi wa ridwan, "Should I not inform you of the good and evil among you?" So a man replied, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform us of the good and evil among us." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The best of you is the one whose goodness is hoped for and people are saved from his evil. The worst of you is he whose goodness is not hoped for and people are not saved from his evil. Now, the summary of the commentary of this hadith is that the person whose behavior gives others peace of mind, whom people trust not to harm anyone, and who looks after the welfare of others as much as they can, that person is truly, truly good. On the other hand, the person whom people fear, from whom they expect no goodness, and whose harm they try to avoid, such a person is evil. And the views of Madani Channel, our beautiful religion of Islam, it guarantees the protection of every Muslim's life, wealth, and honor. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. That the blood, wealth, and honor of every Muslim are haram for another Muslim, unlawful for another Muslim. And under this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that a Muslim must not take another's wealth without their permission, disgrace anyone, or unjustly kill a Muslim, for all these are severe crimes. And he further says that do not consider a Muslim inferior in your heart. Do not address him with, you know, degrading words or an insulting title, and do not mock him. Allahu Akbar. He says, this flaw is widespread among us today. Due to someone's profession, lineage, or poverty, a Muslim brother is deemed inferior because he belongs to a certain caste or certain community. I mean, Islam has abolished all such distinctions. When a bee draws nectar from different flowers, the result is called honey. When fire burns various types of wood, it becomes ash. Similarly, once a person holds fast to the cloak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all Muslims, they become one, whether Abyssinian, whether Roman, whether fair-skinned, dark-skinned, everyone becomes one. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and man aadha musliman faqad aadhani wa man aadhani faqad aadha Allah. That whoever harms a Muslim has indeed harmed me, and whoever harms me has indeed displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see how important it is, the views of Madani Channel, to respect and honor other fellow Muslims. Causing unjust harm to a dog or pig is impermissible. So how grave, how severe must it be to cause harm to Muslims? Allahu Akbar. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know who is poor? The companions, alayhim ridwan, they replied, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a poor man amongst us is the one who possesses neither wealth nor belongings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the poor of my ummah will be the one who comes on the day of Qiyamah with salah, with fasts, with zakat. But since he abused others, slandered, unlawfully consumed another's wealth, shed someone's blood, and beat someone, his good deeds will be given to those whom he wronged. If his good deeds are exhausted before the rights of the victims are fulfilled, their sins will be placed upon him and he will be thrown into the fire. Allahu Akbar. How can we see, deeds of Madani Channel, how important it is to protect the honor and status of fellow Muslims? I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us iman, such a great treasure, such a great wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are one body, deviz of Madani Channel. You know, we have to look out for our fellow Muslims. We have to cover the backs of our other fellow Muslims. We have to cover the flaws of our fellow Muslims. not slander them, mock them, you know, backbite them, gossip about them, expose their faults. No, this is not what should we, this is not what we should be doing. When we see a fault in another Muslim, in another person, we need to cover that fault, not expose it and go around town and say that no, this person is like this, he talks too much and he laughs a lot and he lies, he swears all the time and everything. We shouldn't be exposing the faults of others. Rather, cover the fault. You know, sometimes with your good character, you can be a reason for that person being rectified. Just simply because of your good character. How you say something matters. You know, words, people think that words are just words, you know, that are to play with. But words aren't there to play with. Words, they have power behind them. Words have meaning behind it. You know, I can say one sentence to you, and person B may say another sentence to you. But what I say, perhaps it may not, you know, be impactful. Person B will say the exact same thing, exact same sentence, but it will have an impact. It will strike you. So words, thieves of Madinah, you know, words have power. You can break someone's heart or you can mend someone's heart. We need to be of those who mend people's heart, not go around and shattering the hearts of people, no. You know, a simple thing as you saying something negative to someone, it could break them, it could shatter them, it could make them feel so depressed, so down. And this is not a trait of a believer. A trait of a believer is he uplifts other Muslims. He strengthens other Muslims. He brings in positive vibes. He brings in good energy. This is what we need to do. We need to uplift each other instead of putting each other down. And for that, we need to take out the ego. We need to remove the ego from here. Ego is what causes it nowadays, views of Madinah Channel. Today, we see that leave alone other people we don't know, even families. You may even get blood brothers, blood sisters who don't talk to each other, who talk to each other anyhow. They broke ties off. Perhaps it could be because of inheritance, and sometimes it's because of small trivial issues. Not really an issue, but it's something trivial. And they blew the whole roof over. So, Islam doesn't encourage the views of Madinah Channel. Islam promotes, motivates, encourages peace, harmony, unity, muhabba, affection, compassion, kindness. This is how we need to be. I mean, imagine, take it as, you know, in something to add onto your bucket list. Try it out. Try it out for 1 month. And you would see how your family becomes more better, how there's more muhabba, unity and harmony in the family. From there, you take it outside, you see how the community becomes a much more better place. When we learn to start respecting each other, not violating the rights of each other. Because we've heard the narration on the day of Qiyamah, what will happen? That all of the person's good deeds, he'll come with his salah, all his fast and his zakat, all of it will be given to those people whose rights he has violated. And when his good deeds are finished, their sins are going to come on his head. But can you imagine on that day where everyone will be worried about themselves? No one would even be worried about their sibling. Parents wouldn't be worried about their children. Everyone would be nafsi on that day. Everyone would be worried about their own self. So can you imagine that if we really want to be saved on that day, then we should not be violating the rights of others. We need to protect the honor and respect of others, devious of Madinah Channel. You know, Islam is such a beautiful religion that not only does it, you know, forbid harming others, striking, abusing, stealing, or destroying another person's dignity. It even forbids us from looking, from staring angrily at someone. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever, and listen to this, that whoever frightens his brother by staring at him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will frighten him on the day of Qiyamah. Just by looking at your fellow Muslim angrily, just by giving him that scary look, by frightening him, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will frighten such a person on the day of Qiyamah. Here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that brother refers to a Muslim brother, meaning the one who frightens a Muslim without cause by staring at him. As for staring at a wrongdoer to discipline him, that is necessary. So there is a clear differentiation over here. And I'll repeat that again. That brother refers to a Muslim brother, meaning the one who frightens a Muslim without any cause by staring at him. As for staring at a wrongdoer to discipline him, that is necessary. And he further says that this also indicates that looking at a Muslim brother with rahmah, with mercy, earns reward, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look upon him with mercy. Reflect upon this beautiful teaching. Even staring at someone and causing displeasure and distress is impermissible. Now, if only we become successful in wishing well for others, loving our fellow Muslims, and becoming righteous, compassionate, and merciful Muslims, imagine what a beautiful community we'd have. You know, Sayyidina Mis'ar bin Kidam, rahimahullah, he says, one day, we were walking with Imam A'azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, when the Imam accidentally stepped on a baby's foot. The boy cried out and instinctively said, Ya Shaykhul, atakhafu al-qisas yawm al-qiyamah. That, oh Shaykh, do you not fear the divine retribution that will be taken on the day of Qiyamah? And upon hearing this, Imam A'azam rahimahullah, he trembled intensely and he fell to the ground unconscious. After some time, when he regained consciousness, the narrator says that I asked, why were you so shaken by the words of a child? He said that, who knows, perhaps his voice was guidance from the unseen. Allahu Akbar. And in Sharh al-Sudur, it's mentioned that some esteemed scholars, alayhi rahma, say that there are four causes of a bad end, of a bad death. Number one is negligence in salah. Number two is drinking alcohol. Number three is disobedience to parents. Number four is causing harm to Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that, Divas of Madini channel? That what we have just learned, that there are four causes of a bad death. And from these four causes, one is causing harm to Muslims. So if you and I want a good death, if you and I want a death with Iman, then we need to be kind and good to other fellow Muslims. We need to show love. We need to show compassion, harmony, and unity amongst us Muslims. We need to make other Muslims happy. We need to smile at other Muslims. Whether you know him or not, you still smile, you greet, you make salam. These are the beautiful teachings of the deen. Beautiful teachings of Islam. I mean, what will it take you to just smile? And when you smile at another Muslim, you're making him happy. You're placing happiness into his heart. You know what the reward for that is? And the summary of this narration is that when you make another Muslim happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an angel from that happiness. This angel glorifies Allah ta'ala. This angel praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you pass away, when you are lowered into your grave, this angel comes into your grave and he asks you that, do you know who I am? Do you recognize me? You would say, I don't know. And the angel will say that I am that same happiness which you instilled into the hearts of other fellow Muslims. And today, I am going to place happiness in your grave. Today, I am going to help you answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir. Today, I am going to intercede for you. And not only that, I am going to show you your place in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Just for making someone happy, the use of Madani channel, our Iman can be intact. Because we aren't causing harm to other Muslims. We bring in peace and happiness to them. So smile. Smiling is sadaqah. Smiling is charity. Smiling is a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us revive this beautiful sunnah of smiling in this world of busyness and its rushiness. Let us smile. Let us smile through the difficulty, through the trial. Let's smile. Let's revive the sunnah. And you would see how happy you become and the happiness that you would be spreading amongst others as well. And no, experts say even if you are depressed, even if you are sad and you're feeling all down, smile. Even if there's no absolute reason to smile, but smile. And you would see how your mood changes. You would see how you become more happy. Your stress slowly will go away. Because when you smile, right, it releases endorphins and serotonins. These are happy feelings in your body. Your mood, these are happy moods, right? Happy feelings. It gets released when you smile. Your facial muscles, they also get exercised. Look at this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so much of benefit behind it. But remember, the niyyah is what counts. When you smile, your niyyah must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make my fellow Muslims happy. And to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This should be the niyyah, TVs of Madani Channel. As of now, we do have a very beautiful piece of advice, a very beautiful nasiha. So let us go and listen to this. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we live in a time where lying has become the new norm. People will lie without having any reason to lie. But we are followers of the most truthful. We are followers of he who taught, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ. You must always speak the truth. Truthfulness is necessary. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِيرِ. Why? For truthfulness leads towards righteousness. Yes, unrighteousness will bear yahdi ilal jannah. This leads towards paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he always emphasized the importance of being truthful. A believer never lies. A true believer never lies. A person comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I do this action, I do this action, I do that action. Drink alcohol, I do this, I do that. I also lie. Which thing should I give up first? You know, if there's one, I can only give up one. I will accept Islam true. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stop lying. Through having stopped lying, that person also gave up everything else too. Of course, he accepted Islam first. And then he gave up everything else upon having stopped lying. Truthfulness is not just avoiding lies. It's clarity, sincerity. Purity of intention. Your speech reflects your soul. When a person speaks the truth, he affects hearts. Yes, a person who always speaks the truth, he gains the trust of others. A person who always speaks the truth, he is raised and he raises others. So be truthful, but always be truthful. Yes, not just when it suits you, but even when it may bring about discomfort to yourself, we still must be truthful. Yes, people may not appreciate sometimes what we say, but we still must be honest. Let's clean our words, let's clean our promises, let's clean our faith, of course, with the truth. Because lies lead towards fujur, towards wretchedness, towards corruption. And fujur leads towards jahannam, it leads towards the fire of hell. We are Muslims. Are those people who are truthful? When was the last time you have lied? Think before you speak. Are we just telling lies for no reason? No. Let's only speak the truth.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Every day there is something to learn. And subhanAllah, what a beautiful piece of advice this was, the piece of Madani Channel. MashaAllah. And this teaches us how lying can save you from many, many sins. As we've heard, the person who came in the call of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that do not lie, and that person, because of lying, he could not commit those other three sins. So not lying saved him from committing those other sins. So from this we learn, Yusuf Madin Chiran, that we should not be speaking lies. We should teach our children as well not to speak lies. You know, sometimes when a child is small, and then, you know, in order to maybe discipline the child or to make the child go early to bed or to feed the child, then parents would often say, eat your food, otherwise if you don't eat your food, the boogeyman is going to come. And so much other more things, you know, parents say to the small child. This is a lie, dear viewers of Mother Nishanal. You know, we are instilling in our children fear of unnecessary things. Boogeyman? I mean, seriously? Rather, we need to instill in our children the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach them the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, we would also be teaching them how to speak the truth and not to be speaking lies. So yes, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the people of the ditch, and we have mentioned its account as well. We have mentioned the different lessons that we have derived. One is that trials are a mercy. And the second lesson that we have learned is not to cause harm to others. And the third is inflicting harm on others in such a severe sin that it incurs the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times, its punishment is given in this world. Like a saint once saw a man whose arm had been cut from the shoulder. The man was announcing, whoever sees me should never oppress anyone. I asked him what happened, and he said, and my story is ajeeb. My story is strange. I used to associate with criminals. One day I snatched a fish from a fisherman and headed home. And he says that on the way, the fish bit my thumb. Somehow, I reached home and put the fish aside. The pain was so intense that I could not sleep the entire night. He says that in the morning I went to the doctor, showed him my injured hand. He said the thumb would have to be amputated. So it was cut off. It says, later one day I was struck on the hand and the old wound reopened. The pain became unbearable. I returned to the doctor and he said the hand must be cut off. So I had it amputated. But then the pain spread throughout the entire arm. And he says that he was in extreme agony, not feeling a moment of ease. Eventually, he had to have his arm cut off. First up to the elbow, then up to the shoulder. So people asked me how the suffering began. So I told him about the incident with the fish. They said that if you had gone to the fisherman at the very beginning, sought his forgiveness and reconciled with him, perhaps your arm would not have been amputated. Even now, find him, seek his forgiveness before this affliction spreads to the rest of your body. So with great difficulty, he says that I found the fisherman. I fell at his feet and begged for forgiveness. He asked in confusion, and who are you? And I said, I am the one who snatched the fish from you. So I told him the entire story and showed him my severed arm. He cried and said, my brother, I forgive you. I took him as a witness and sincerely repented, vowing to never wrong anyone again. Allahu Akbar. So yes, divas of Madinah, we see how detrimental this is. And remember that there is a very dangerous spiritual disease, the intoxication of power. We must remove this disease from within ourselves. You know, also remember that strength is not a requirement to be intoxicated by power. Many times a person does not possess real power, but in his own imagination, he considers himself powerful. Now, this is the essential point. Whoever eliminates this intoxication of strength from within, whoever stops being vain, controls his nafs. In other words, whoever kills the pharaoh within himself, such a person can be saved from oppression. So, the views of Mother Nishanal, we have learned many lessons in today's episode, and I'm sure that inshallah we would implement these lessons and also teach it to others as well. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear.
The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.